taking stock of the industry, the shifting priorities in transportation, and a forecast for growth in manufacturing. Pull up a chair and join us as the editors of DC Velocity discuss these stories as well as news and supply chain trends on this week's Logistics Matters podcast. Hi, I'm Dave Maloney. I'm the Group Editorial Director at DC Velocity. Welcome. Logistics Matters is sponsored by Trevero Logistics. Trevero Logistics is an experienced Midwest-based freight brokerage firm. They have a national network of trusted carriers ready to meet your freight transportation needs. Visit Trevero.com and let their experts find you a solution. That's Trevero.com. As usual, our DC Velocity senior editors Ben Ames and Victoria Kickham will be along to provide their insights into the top stories of this week. But to begin today, supply chain professionals gathered just a few weeks ago in Atlanta for MODEX 24. It's one of the most exciting stops in a professional's calendar, as there were three large halls filled with the latest in supply chain technologies to explore. Joining us today to talk about that and the state of the industry is John Paxton, the CEO of MHI, the industry trade group responsible for organizing and presenting MODEX. Welcome, John. It's good to have you back with us on Logistics Matters.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Dave.
John, you just completed a very successful MODEX 24 event a few weeks ago, and this show has grown considerably over the years. To what do you attribute its success, and were there any important takeaways from this year's MODEX?
Yeah, Dave, the success has been all about the innovation and innovation in technologies that were on display. And when we themed this year's MODEX, the theme was full spectrum supply chain. And when you went to the show and had the opportunity to see the technologies that were on display, not only from the physical products, but also the software and the tools that connect those systems together, it really defined, you know, what the theme of the show was. And we added this year over 300 additional exhibitors to get us up over 1,200 companies showing their products and solutions. And along with that, we had 200 educational sessions to really bring those solutions forward. When you think about the important takeaways, you saw a lot of robotics and innovation, all about trying to make the supply chain more efficient and more connected. So there was not only the technology, the robotics and automation technology, but a lot of software tools and also a big emerging trend in AI.
It was a great week. And as always, MHI uses the opportunity for MODEX or ProMat, depending on the year, to release the annual industry report. And it's something that everybody looks forward to and talks about afterwards. What would you say is the general feeling on the state of the industry?
Generally speaking, the industry is strong, and the report, which we surveyed 1,700 supply chain executives, the report said that they're going to continue to invest. They're continuing to look at the technologies, and the main theme was tying these technologies into a collaborative supply chain and a human-centric approach.
The report mentions that artificial intelligence and automation have dominated the headlines this year. Of course, we share a lot of those topics on this podcast and in DC Velocity. But the report also says that the big challenge is to integrate these technologies in what is called a human-centric and collaborative way. Can you explain what that means?
Yes. When you look at the technologies that are available, not only the AI technologies, but the automation technologies, the idea is they should be there as tools to augment the workforce and to help the human workforce make better decisions, build in resiliency, and to be able to look at the data that's available and crunch that data and give recommendations to the most efficient processes. So that's what the report highlights, is looking at the technologies, but looking at it from the way to empower the workforce.
And of course, you couldn't walk five steps without hearing something about artificial intelligence at the show, and it's become a big topic. So in what ways do you feel that generative AI will impact supply chains?
Well, we asked that question in the survey, and we said over the next 2 years, where do companies see themselves implementing artificial intelligence? And the number one was in the logistics, shipping, and transportation side. And there are examples of companies that are already using that to maximize the efficiencies within their route planning and their delivery planning. And that is bringing a lot of efficiencies into operations. Supplier due diligence was another one that was high on the list. Inventory management, consumer behavior tracking, all these pieces that have major data components, and to be able to crunch that data in a format and to come up with recommendations on how to improve processes. Forecasting demand was a part of it, pricing, contracts, all those were key areas that the survey highlighted where artificial intelligence is expected to be used if it's not already being used.
Right, and I think that a lot of people are going to be taking advantage of some of these technologies. But John, are there precautions that supply chain managers should address before jumping into AI-based technologies?
Yeah, there certainly are precautions anytime you look at new solutions and new technology. The first one is protecting your data. When you start using tools, the question is who owns the data and where does that data end up? So that is certainly a big aspect of it, and making sure that there's security there. And then also being confident with the results and the results that come out of these tools to make sure that they're tested and they are basically providing the results that you expect for the efficiency improvements. And anytime you're transferring data or working with software tools, cybersecurity is a big topic, and making sure that you have adequate risk abatement in place so that you don't run into any problems or issues when you implement these technologies.
And of course, MODEX had a lot of automation on display. And you talked a little bit earlier about collaborative working with workers that are on the floor, but yet there's still fewer of those workers to go around. So how is automation helping companies deal with that increased demand that they're seeing, but fewer workers to fill it?
Yeah, first, what we saw on the show floor is, any type of example of automation and robotics that can take away the mundane tasks, the repeatable tasks out of the process. So there you save not only workforce and manpower, but you really take the jobs that people don't really want to do on a regular basis. You take those and automate those. But then you put these in place where you can upskill your workforce, where they're using these tools to become more efficient. And between, high density storage, AMR systems, automatic labeling, automatic packaging, and then a big area this year was automatic robotic truck loading and unloading. And we've had multiple companies demonstrating their solutions in that space. And I could tell you, if you're a worker and asked to go unload a truck when it's very hot and go and by hand unload a truck, that is not a very nice job that people really get excited about doing. So it's putting the tools in place to help them do that better and more efficiently.
We've talked about automatic truck unloading, artificial intelligence, and a lot of the other automation that was at the show. But in general, what's sort of the low-hanging fruit, or where should supply chain managers focus their energies and investments this year?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, with the idea is start with the repeatable mundane tasks, the manual processes, whether it's traveling through the warehouse, whether it's repeatable picking, whether it's every day unloading trucks and reloading trucks, or every day printing labels and sticking them on boxes. All these type of things, those are the places where you can get the biggest return on your investment and make the quickest, fastest process improvements. So I would look for those areas first, and then also looking at the software solutions to help with the better decision making. Now there's many tools out there that you can implement that will help your workers make quicker, faster, better decisions and be able to crunch all this data that we're receiving out of our operations. I'd say those are the two big places to help the workers become more effective and more efficient.
With more than 1,200 exhibitors, obviously the industry is doing well, very healthy. What do you think the future looks like for material handling and supply chains in general?
In general, the outlook is really strong. It's for me, it's I'm always amazed each year when you go to our shows to see the developments and the innovations in the technologies. And we asked in the survey, what are the future trends or future challenges that you'll see expect to see over the next 5 years? And those continue to supply chain agility. We've heard a lot about that. Rising costs, the workforce challenge, sustainability, and visibility and transparency. Those are the trends and I call them even challenges that we'll face going forward. And the industry's strong because the industry is putting out solutions and technologies to be able to address those. So it's exciting times in the industry, and each year I'm amazed at what new companies, what they develop and what ideas they come up with to offset those challenges in the future.
It certainly is an exciting time, and we thank you for being with us. We have been talking to John Paxton, the CEO of MHI. Thanks again, John, for being a part of Logistics Matters today.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Now let's take a look at some of the other supply chain news from the week. And Victoria, you wrote a story about new research into the shift of priorities of transportation managers. Can you share the details?
Absolutely, happy to. So transportation industry leaders, as you say, have shifted their priorities in 2024, with cost concerns sort of taking a backseat to climate issues that can cause major supply chain disruptions. And this is all according to the 2024 State of Transportation Report from transportation management technology company Breakthrough. Now, they're a company that offers sustainable fuel and freight solutions for shippers, among other solutions. In January, they surveyed 500 U.S. transportation decision makers. That included 350 shippers and 150 carriers. And they asked about their transportation goals, priorities, and predictions for the next 12 months. The results were published on April 3rd. In a nutshell, respondents said extreme weather events, things like the months-long Panama Canal drought we recently witnessed, are their number one transportation challenge this year. They also said those kinds of issues are pushing environmental sustainability initiatives to the top of their company's agendas.
You mentioned initiatives, environmental sustainability initiatives. What are we talking about there?
Well, half of the shippers surveyed said they're taking action on sustainability by evaluating the potential emissions impact of alternative energy modes, as one example. Others said they're looking at ways to optimize routes, to minimize distance traveled, and to assess the cost and availability of transitioning select lanes to alternative energy modes. That could include all kinds of things, using EVs or hybrid vehicles or modes that utilize sustainable fuels and so forth. Overall, though, the majority of shippers surveyed, 98%, said their organization has set sustainability goals for transportation. So they're working towards some kind of goal. And 63% said they plan to fulfill specific sustainability certifications or standards. So essentially, it's a top issue that's getting a lot of attention by way of evaluation and investigation. And as the report's authors note, it sort of makes a lot of sense. The report cited the intensifying winter weather we've seen across the United States, flooding in California, and also the fallout from a highly active hurricane season as issues that have already contributed to disruptions this year. I should note, though, that although these issues trumped cost as compared to last year, the author said cost concerns are still a big issue in 2024. And the report offers information on some other big industry trends as well. So there's a lot in there, a lot more than I've just talked about here. But these were the top line findings. Listeners can find a link to the full report in our story, which is online.
That's right. Next story again can be found at dcvelocity.com. Thank you, Victoria.
You're welcome.
And Ben, we continue to report on the return of manufacturing coming back to the United States. And you wrote this week on a forecast for more growth in the manufacturing sectors of our supply chains. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, glad to. What we're hearing about this week is that the manufacturing sector has emerged from the pandemic on a strong growth trajectory. And that continued growth is expected over the next 10 years. That was according to a report from the National Association of Manufacturers and Deloitte, the consulting firm. They said that the sector is growing in response to three broad trends. Companies are working to meet evolving customer demands. They're trying to de-risk their supply chains, and they're leveraging government incentives and policies. So that's the good news. But it also comes with a challenge, because the report also said that that rapid expansion could be restricted by a skills gap and a tight labor market. So specifically, U.S. manufacturers could need, in the forecast, as many as 3.8 million additional employees between 2024 and 2033. But as the need for higher level skills grows, something like half of those open positions, 1.9 million jobs, could remain unfilled if manufacturers are not able to address the skills and the applicant gaps. They actually put some particular details on that. The types of skilled workers in the highest demand could include statisticians, data scientists, logisticians, engineers, computer and information systems managers, software developers, and industrial maintenance technicians.
Ben, of course, any economic growth is good news for the manufacturers themselves and also the suppliers and retailers that do business with them. But as you mentioned, there is that labor gap. Did the reports say what companies are doing to be able to grow their labor pools?
Yeah, and so this is a challenge of trying to get ahead of the problem before it develops. We're talking about a potential gap, you know, that could develop over the coming decade. And there are two parts to that equation. There's filling open positions as they become available, and also keeping them filled. In other words, retaining your existing workers. So part of the challenge to this is that the workforce is evolving, the report said. Carolyn Lee, who's the head of the Manufacturing Institute, that's the division of the National Association of Manufacturers that helped create this report, said that pandemic-driven shifts have already created hundreds of thousands of new jobs, and we're now seeing increased demand for digital skills that need to be met or risk a further widening of the talent gap. So she said that in order to get there, companies have to prioritize technology, training, and talent development. And they also must invest in partnerships, apprentices, and education. So the goal with this approach is to prioritize a more diverse and inclusive workforce, and then bring a host of new talent onto the factory floor. So as an example of how that might work out in the real world, companies are partnering with technical schools and colleges and even high schools to educate those future workers. And they're also investing in training programs like apprenticeships, work studies, and internships. Finally, they're also kind of tweaking their job descriptions. The report said that as retiring baby boomers are increasingly replaced by incoming millennials and Gen Z workers, the industry needs to meet workforce expectations that are different from what they used to be. Particularly, they're talking about more flexibility there. And that means, you know, a company might offer flexible shifts, allow shift swapping or split shifts, that sort of thing. So they had some numbers on it, but that really sees a large uptick in retention when you offer more flexibility like that.
Ben, those all sound like some great ideas, but of course it will take a lot of those, probably in combination, including more automation to meet the production and labor needs that we're going to need for a growing manufacturing base.
Great points. Yep. And that automation will definitely have to step in and fill a gap as well. Yep.
Thanks, Ben.
Glad to.
We encourage listeners to go to dcvelocity.com for more on these and other supply chain stories. Also, check out the podcast notes section for some direct links to read more about the topics that we discussed today. And we'd like to thank John Paxton of MHI for being our guest. We welcome your comments on this topic and our other stories. You can email us at podcast@agilebme.com. We also encourage you to subscribe to Logistics Matters at your favorite podcast platform. Our new episodes are uploaded each Friday. And a reminder that Logistics Matters is sponsored by Trevero Logistics. Trevero Logistics is an experienced Midwest-based freight brokerage firm. They have a national network of trusted carriers ready to meet your freight transportation needs. Visit Trevero.com and let their experts find you a solution. That's Travero.com. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Logistics Matters. Be sure to join us. Until then, have a great week.